When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to another edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, and Robin Washett, last week's fill-in host for Husker Online Headlines. We got a hoops-heavy show, so Robin's going to be a part of headlines this week as well. And you know, we're doing our shows a little bit off schedule again this week to accommodate basketball. And that's where we start, guys. Headline number one. It's Nebraska, it's Texas A&M, storylines galore, Memphis at Steve Sipple's favorite arena, the FedEx Forum, Nebraska, Texas A&M, 5:50 p.m. Expecting a big red invasion. I heard it's an easy ticket to get Memphis this weekend. I talked to my good buddy, Scott, who's a ticket expert, and he said, yeah, tickets won't be that hard to come by, in his opinion, for games this weekend in Memphis. As A&M and Houston probably not going to travel in huge numbers out there, but it's going to be quite a weekend, Robin. I know you've talked to a lot of people making their way out to Memphis.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that as soon as Selection Sunday, the bracket was announced and Nebraska's name popped up, flights were getting booked, hotels were getting booked, and people want to know where to stay. You know, what were the best hotels? Where were the spots to go in Memphis? So the excitement is at full force right now.
Yeah, and I would go downtown. I mean, if I was telling people, I'd just get a hotel downtown.
Yeah, and there's plenty to choose from, right, from just overviewing thing. And Beale Street's the spot, and that surrounding area around the arena. It seems like there's lots to choose from. On Friday, the Nebraska Alumni Association is putting together a quasi-formal kind of Husker huddle event that they do for road games, for football a lot of times, but it's going to be at the Rum Boogie Cafe and Blues Club on 182 Beale Street.
Oh, it's on Beale Street.
Yeah. Is this like a sports nightly Greg Sharp type deal, or is it just going to be a party?
They don't really have all that much information outside of it's free, open to the public, first come, first serve seating, food and drink available for purchase. So I think it's more just like a home base.
I guess for Friday night, it won't really matter because Sports Nightly starts at 6.
Yeah. So the game will be underway.
Yeah. It will just be a kind of a place to watch the early games. And you guys are going to have to find a place Thursday to watch the games.
We will.
Thursday.
We will.
Now, what's the schedule out there, Robin, for you know,
yeah, like, I got to get.
So you guys travel today. Right. And Thursday, what's the schedule?
Yeah. So Thursday, both, I think all the teams go to the arena, okay, and they go through a series of press conferences, like kind of formal NCAA press conferences where the coach and maybe a couple players go up to the podium and do kind of that thing. And then right after they're done with that, which is usually 20 minutes, maybe 20, 30 minutes, they go onto the court and have a shoot around practice. It's not a full scale, you know, like normal practice. It's just a shoot around that's open to the public. So any Nebraska fans that are out in Memphis, you can go to the FedEx Forum and check out Nebraska. They're tentatively scheduled to practice around 2:45, 2:30-ish, somewhere around then. I guess it just kind of depends on when they get on the floor. But I think they have a 45-minute window-ish to do the shoot around there. And you can come check it out, sit in the stands, and see all the team and all that sort of stuff. So, and after that, then, you know, they're just kind of hanging out and getting ready. They'll have a morning shoot around on Friday before the game at the arena, and then it's game time.
Well, there's your schedule, Sean.
So, well, plenty of coverage Thursday, and obviously the game. I love the start of the game because no one's going to have to duck out of work. It's not in the middle of the afternoon. So, school kids, like I know my daughter was just thrilled that she's going to be able to watch the game. So, I'm excited for the tip-off time.
Yeah.
It's TNT or TBS?
TNT.
TNT. So, they're at TNT, 5:50 p.m., Sip and Rob will have full coverage. Maybe some barbecue reports from Memphis.
Definitely barbecue. I heard there's some chicken places too.
And fish.
There's a Hattie B's in Memphis.
Hattie B's in Memphis. I haven't seen that, but I really like the seafood places that are near Beale Street, not on Beale Street, near Beale Street. That's where I'll be going, Rob. You don't have to go with me. I just can't wait to get down there. I mean, I love the city. I do. I mean, there's probably cities I like better, but I really do like Memphis. And the game's the thing for me though, guys. It really is. I'm not as oriented toward the nightlife as you guys are. You know. Now, if they win Friday, we have till Sunday. Yeah, Saturday will be a good day.
5,000 Nebraska fans make their way there, you think? Is that a fair number, or am I going high?
I think you're going a little low. Yeah.
Basketball arenas seat, what do they seat? 20, 18?
Yeah. Probably, that looks like about 20.
I mean, every team gets a lot of tickets already.
That's true. Yeah.
How does that work, by the way? Like, I didn't check our emails, but season ticket holders, did they get some seats in the group seat section for Nebraska, Robin? Or is that just for like the families?
Yeah, I never saw anything about what was sent out and what was made available to season ticket holders. But I know that there is a limited allotment that they have. I just don't know how many it is. And it went fast. So yeah. The Nebraska's allotment has been claimed and was claimed quickly.
Yeah. So I have been to the arena, and it is a big time arena. It's a nicer arena than the last time when they played at the Spurs arena, which is fine in its own right. This one's super nice. I mean, it's not
19,000 seats. 19,000.
Okay, yeah. It's not gigantic, but it's big enough and it's gorgeous. You'll have a great place to sit, Rob. I'll be up pretty high. But I don't mind.
Do they play hockey there?
No.
Okay. I know.
They're a one pro sport town.
Gotcha.
One pro sport.
It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Because if you work for like the Mississippi newspaper, you know, you'd probably have to be all in on that. I mean, yeah, Memphis football. Are you dip down into like Ole Miss? They're really close to Ole Miss.
Yeah. It is interesting how big Ja Morant is there and how much impact he has in the city of Memphis, which you would expect because it's a one sport town.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if their baseball's double A or triple A there.
That stadium is right.
I think it's triple.
I think it's the St. Louis Cardinals triple A affiliate, and it's right downtown. In fact, it's right down the street
by the arena.
Yeah, right down the street from the Peabody, right near the arena. So yeah, people that are going, I would try to stay downtown because the arena's walking distance.
Yeah, pretty much everything you need to see is walking distance. Yeah, so once you're there, which is nice.
Well, the Peabody is just like an iconic piece of Memphis. Like if you can
Peabody Hotel.
If you have like time, I mean, just go in there and I mean, there's restaurants and multiple bars and the duck walk. I mean,
they release the ducks off they bring them down the elevator and they walk them into the main area, and they go into, now when I was there, okay, they usually would go into this fountain, but the fountain was shut down for some reason, so they just walk the ducks around and walked them back, and they go up to their area. But yeah, there's a duck master and all that, and that's who I got in trouble with for. I kept my flash on. Yeah, I got, and she was mad.
Turn your flash off.
Yeah, she looked at me. I have it. I should show you guys the video. She looked at me like she was gonna kill me.
In Hawaii this week, the turtles, like in the water, like the big sea turtles. I mean, I didn't touch them, but there are a couple people that like wanted to touch these turtles, and people like freak out. I mean,
because they're sacred.
Yeah, you don't touch the sea. I mean, you go to jail.
Are they sacred?
We're touching the turtles.
Well, they're endangered, I think.
Endangered.
Yeah, they're.
It's
not
like the dudes like in Yellowstone that get out there and like try to take pictures with the bison and get charged and knocked over.
Or the bear.
What are you doing?
Anyway. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't touch the ducks.
Don't touch the ducks.
There's a drink, by the way, Robin. I looked on their bar menu out of curiosity. I was just bored because I'm jealous, mainly that I'm not going. That has a rubber duck in the drink.
Is that right?
Like a miniature rubber duck.
That's a must.
Drink. Is that a must?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like.
Look,
a must.
I get way too excited about stuff.
Like I don't know if Megan can find a photo of that, but you gotta get an old fashioned. You gotta get a rubber duck drink.
Yeah. To clarify, the open practice on Thursday, 2:45 to 3:25 p.m. Central Time.
Okay, we got to go to that.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean,
it's right after the press conference.
You'll get a little out of that, right? I mean, will the coaches be in?
We'll see who's practicing.
We'll see.
It's a shoot around. Yeah. I mean, like,
it's a pony show.
Right.
Yeah.
We got to do tunnel talk.
Think of it like the exhibition practice they did at PBA for like opening night. It's like that.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
All right. Let's before we take it to headline number two, Husker Online Headlines, brought to you by Eller Brock Norris. Eller Brock Norris has been helping Nebraska business owners protect their purpose for over 120 years with risk management solutions built for local businesses. Eller Brock Norris partners with you on your commercial insurance, group benefits, business exit planning, safety, and more. Start thinking long-term with your business and create a risk management strategy to protect it. Are your employee benefit costs going through the roof? Talk to Eller Brock. Workplace injuries skyrocketing with your workers' compensation costs? Talk to Eller Brock. Hoping to retire in the next 10 years and sell your business to either key employees or even a friendly competitor? Talk to Eller Brock. Eller Brock Norris is helping you protect your purpose, whether it's your business and the employees in it, your life outside of work, or your future retirement goals. Head to ellerbrock-norris.com/huskeronline today to get your free risk evaluation quote. Once again, thanks to Eller Brock Norris for sponsoring us here on the Husker Online Show. Okay, headline number two. And, you know, I was on radio duty this week, and you never know what you're going to get out of a listen to the radio when coaches and administrators go on there. On Monday night, you had both interim president Chris Kaborik and interim athletic director Dennis LeBlanc on the Husker Radio Network. And this quote really struck me by Kaborik, that they want to move quickly. And I'm going to read it. We want to move as quickly as we can, but we want to make sure that we take our time to find someone who is a good fit for Nebraska. At this point, I think I can tell your listeners that I've been very overwhelmed by the number and the interest of people in the job. And he even went on to say that at 6 a.m., they began talking to some individuals on Sunday morning that might have some interest in the Nebraska job. I mean, that catch you by surprise.
Yeah, it did, because he's not the president. He's the interim president, and he won't be probably involved in the hiring process.
Unless there's I mean, it's hard. Unless there's a failed search, he could be the permanent president. But I don't
think so. Wouldn't that? There's state law that would dictate, I guess, if there's a failed.
If the regents say we can't figure it out.
Okay.
And I think that alone, they're going to
it's quite a scenario to think about if it's a failed search.
That's not even
that there. Would be great. But anyway, so there's a search firm involved. Yeah, Sean, to answer your question, I was very surprised that he said that, because what's happening this week is they're probably going to identify the president.
And on then, Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. And then the president is in charge of the hiring process. So with a search firm involved. So yeah, I was a little surprised that the interim was speaking in those terms. It's fine. I think he probably did it to calm the masses more than anything. Like, we got this. We're talking to people. Don't worry. But the bottom line is, there's going to be a president identified. And then there's a 30-day vetting process that, I mean, they will go through before the president is formally recognized as the president. And then the AD will be hired. I mean, would it be hired within that 30-day window? I doubt it. I just don't think you can do it.
I think by May 15th, that's a good – by. I think by April or May, late May, you got to have the AD figured out.
100%.
I mean, to me, it doesn't matter. There's no one – there's no imminent – well, the women's basketball situation could always change things quickly, but I don't think you need an AD to, like, make a big decision right now.
Well, I don't – yes and no.
Hoiberg's contract, though, Robin, what do you think on that? Like, what – like, let's say a big job opens and they come to Hoiberg.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine Dennis LeBlanc would have the authority to get.
That's what I'm saying. I think they have people in place that can handle that right now. And I think Fred's comfortable to work with people that are in place to get that stuff done. And, like, I would assume that they know that they're going to take care of him. At least they better. Because, yeah, I mean, his name is going to pop up for jobs, especially with the job that he's done these past 2 years. But I'm kind of with you that, outside of stuff like that, I don't know if there's, like, an immediate pressing need to, like, you have to have an AD now.
It makes me nervous.
The only thing that worries me, though, is just the fundraising stuff. Like, how far behind are they going to fall with all that? And then how far does all these stadium renovation projects get pushed to the back burner during this?
Well, the Nebraska Philanthropic Trust is leading the way. I mean, I would assume they're being paid $5.6 million to do fundraising. Mm-hmm. You would hope that they're continuing to do it. I mean, if they're not, that's a problem.
There's a global part of the conversation that would trouble me if that AD job is open into June. And that is, these ADs, Big Ten ADs meet. These are powerful
people. Spring meetings.
Yeah, and you don't have an AD there. It's not good. Decisions being made without you having a sitting AD would, if I were a Nebraska fan, that would make me uncomfortable. You do not want that thing open too long. You don't.
Yeah, because if they do get to a point where LeBlanc is in the room in the spring representing Nebraska at those Big Ten AD spring meetings, you know, he's just not going to be able to have a big voice.
No, he doesn't. No, he's the interim. He's got an interim tag.
He has to just kind of be quiet and
it's
and
not,
listen.
Right. It's not his cup of tea. I mean, he's in charge of academics.
Well, Bill Moose and Trev, they went into those meetings with probably a big voice.
Probably a big voice? 100% a big voice. Yeah. I mean, those were heavyweights. Those are heavyweights. Bill Moose and Trev, I've been critical of Trev.
And Ted Carter.
But Trev's a heavyweight. I mean, he represented, again, we've been critical. I get it. But he represented Nebraska really well. Bill Moose, heavyweight. He, in his own mind, he's a heavyweight. That's probably enough. You know, I mean, oh, yeah. LeBlanc's not, doesn't have the chops. That wasn't supposed to have the chops. He's in charge of academics.
And he'll do a fine job. And I think his main job is to keep the ship straight down the path mm-hmm. until the time comes with a new AD.
That's more to my point, that I think that if it's not some like, we have to hire people just to keep this thing from completely imploding. I think there's the people are in place to make sure that
I think so.
The train stays on the tracks. But I also agree with you, Sip, that you can't just let this carry on and on and on and on and on to where like you're right going into June and you don't have an AD yet.
Well, it's the Big Ten, baby.
It's an attractive job though. I mean, if you're an ACC or Big 12 AD,
yes,
like and you know the revenue gaps that are being created.
Yep.
We're talking the playoff difference revenue alone is $8 or $9 million from a Big Ten school, Big 12 or Big Ten SEC school to the ACC Big 12. And then that's not counting the multimedia rights deals, which are $40 million gaps. So you're working with a $40 to $50 million annual advantage as a Big Ten AD versus a Big 12 or ACC. Who the hell wouldn't want that?
No, it's a challenging job. Some people wouldn't want it because it's challenging, but it's an excellent job. It can be both those things. It can be overly challenging to some people, but it's a great job. I mean, when you step into that arena, I mean, Trev had a really hard job. Bill had a really hard job. It got tougher, I think, from Moose to Trev because of the shifting landscape. I mean, you almost need a legal degree to understand everything that's going on in the court system on virtually a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to really understand the legal aspects of it, or at least have somebody that counsels you in that. Trev was excellent at that. I mean, he understood NIL shifts very well. I mean, he kept abreast of it. He was really good at his job. I will say that. Now he betrayed an entire state basically, but he was good at his job.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's take it on headline number 3. Nebraska head football coach Matt Rhule calmed the waters this week. He gave the speech that was needed at a time when it was never needed more. You know, that was Matt Rhule on Monday, that was a moment where you're like, yep, this guy's worth what you're paying him, because, you know,
like, well, I'd like to see some more wins, but yeah.
But just the way he represented and spoke right. in that situation.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, his offseason with getting Raiola and transfers, he's doing the right things. Mm-hmm. But he handled himself better than the governor did this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he did definitely calm the waters. He led. He was a leader.
He didn't get political. He just led.
Got a little political, but not much. No, you're right. Not much. He took the high road on Trev, said that he'll miss him and that he's left the university in a better spot. Matt does take the high road. I agree with you. I mean, and he really, I thought, was eloquent in spelling out what he's looking for in the AD. He wasn't even asked really directly about the AD. He was just asked what he looks for in a leader. And he just went ahead and said, this is what I'm looking for in the AD. Mm-hmm. And it was good. I mean, what he said made a lot of sense. I mean, and what he said was urgency. We need somebody that has a sense of urgency, because he said, we need someone that has an unbelievable sense of urgency, doers. He mentioned that something interesting too about Trev, that Trev was there every day at 7:30 with a suit on. That's big time. I mean, that's a big time leader that's there every day, you know, every day of the week with a suit on. And Trev's like that. Matt spelled it out really well. And he mentioned the Penn State AD is another guy that he likes that way. I'm sure that was beautiful to hear for people. But I thought, yeah, I'm with you. He spoke for 10 minutes, really, before he ever got to his team at all.
It wasn't a spring football press conference.
No.
Not really wasn't, was it? Wasn't. He got to his football team eventually, and we did talk football. But that's not, and I will tell you, that's not what I expected. I expected more of a mundane spring football.
I'll just say this, and let's keep questions on football, guys.
Right. Sean was ready with a story. You know, you had the bare
bones. It's challenging to, like, cut up quotes on Matt Rhule.
Long.
When you go 8 or 10 minutes in a row on one thing, and they're, like, 1,000-word quotes.
Right.
You have to, like, I mean, it takes a little bit of skill.
He did. Oh, I know it does. But yeah, you were ready, because we figured he would lead with it. He would comment on it. But like Rob said, I didn't know he would go that in depth on it. But he did. And it was interesting, I thought. It was leadership.
So when he's talking about what he's looking for in the next AD, you mentioned urgency.
Yeah.
You know, someone that's going to be, like, not scared to do big things. Mm-hmm. And one of the quotes that kind of struck me is, you can't worry about optics. I wonder what that means. Hmm. Like, what optics do you think he's talking about when it comes to investing and doing things to keep Nebraska at the forefront? Like, I didn't know if that was referencing maybe some resistance they've met with
NIL.
I don't know. In terms of, like, trying to move Nebraska forward. That's just one thing that if I could follow up, I just want to say, what optics is he talking about? And was that an issue previously?
Hmm.
Like, did Trev receive resistance with some of these big ideas that he had, which maybe played a part in his decision?
Could have been.
Yeah, I mean, the stadium thing, though, we just don't know where that's all going to go.
No, we don't.
The money piece. And, I mean, there's never been a project in the city of Lincoln of this cost.
Yeah, $450 million is the announced cost, but you figure it'll be surged to $600 million or so. I would say, if you were to venture a guess, I would say it'll be put on pause. I just don't know how you go forward. I don't know how you're going to go forward with this.
To put it in perspective, the Mutual of Omaha building in downtown Omaha will be the largest skyscraper ever built in Nebraska. And initially they announced it as a price tag of $443 million. And the later updated cost is now $600 million.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about.
And we're talking pretty much a similar project. I mean, a skyscraper in downtown Omaha that it will be the largest of its kind in Nebraska. And the football stadium is going to be on that same scale.
So that's what the new AD would walk into. It's possible that I'm wrong. Very rarely am I wrong, but I don't think that this thing will go forward with the current price tag.
My understanding, though, is you have to do South Stadium right. You have to demolish it. Mm-hmm. like the way it was never built as like an addition to connect with the rest of the stadium. Like north, east, and west connect. South was just kind of built up as like
standalone,
like a temporary bleacher stand.
Okay, here's my question to you: do you have to do it to the south stand? Do you have to upgrade,
or do you just let it live with it?
Do you just live with it?
Well, Trev really leaned on that the American disability, you know, the handicap seating and the access.
Okay.
There's no elevators. There's no escalators.
That's trouble.
I mean, you have to push your, you know, push somebody up these ramps, and it's
That's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that part. And
do they have to be compliant, like with the guidelines for like the Disabilities Act or whatever, like to have ramps and like even like railings up the aisles? Like, I know that was an issue too.
Have they been in compliant for a long time?
Yeah.
Well, they have the handicap seating platforms. Like, you can't get a wheelchair up like the main.
Mm-hmm.
South. Well, I don't know. But anyway, I don't.
But there's a lot of issues there, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they just announce a scale back renovation, scale back to 150 million, mm-hmm. 200 million.
Phases. Like,
yeah. I think if you said to that.
Chair backs can happen.
If you said to that, whoever those people are, they're raising the money, you just got to raise 120. You could probably have that done by the end of summer.
Well, Matt,
but 225, you got to get to 225, 225 million. You may never get to that.
Matt Davison did that by himself almost.
225?
No, the hundred and some million on his own for the football project.
Yes, that's a lot different than 225.
No, I know.
I mean, it wasn't easy.
And that was the pre-NIL era.
Right.
And now the pre-NIL you're going era. To the same people that are already giving tons to NIL, already giving tons to Nebraska normally,
yep.
And you want them to give them more. And, yep. You know, if you're a guy that would give $1 million is not enough, by the way. That they're looking for like $10 million gifts, $20 million gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not searching for $100,000 donations for the stadium project. They need major gifts, major gifts.
Yeah. So that's, we got to say this all in the context of an open AD position. And that's what the AD, this new AD, would inherit. That's part of the job. That happens. I mean, you have to take care of your facilities. But this project is mammoth. I can't believe there's an AD sitting out there right now who's been in charge of a project of this magnitude.
Well, and the stadium ticket grandfathering, too. I mean, that's something that they were going to consider eliminating. And you have, you know, roughly 20,000 people that are probably grandfathered in pricing from the 1980s and 90s.
It's complicated. And it's a complex job.
They need to eliminate that. That's going to, I mean, there's a lot of things the new AD is going to walk into and upset people.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And that's part. Now, again, I've said this before to you guys on this show. That's the nature of an AD job. It's tough. You got to say no to people. That's the bottom line. You got to say no to people in house. You got to fire people in house. Say no to people outside. You got to say no to a lot of people outside. You have no idea on a daily basis how many people want something, be it just a tour of the football offices at 2 p.m. No, we can't do that. The guys are working. We can't have your kids walking through here at 2 p.m. It's stuff like that. That every day you're saying no to somebody.
Remember when the like locker room wasn't fully built up yet, and we'd be up in that like area by the soccer offices. There'd just be like fourth grade classes, like. Mm-hmm. Damn near walking through the locker room.
Right.
I would see like players in their towels, like walking by us. And then there'd be a fourth grade class on their
very awkward
state of Nebraska field trip. I think that is it fourth or fifth grade when they go
something
on
something like that. Yeah.
It's like, this does not work here.
Mm-mm. No,
there's like kids walking around and guys walking around in their like spandex underwear. And
right. No, it wasn't a good scene. You're right. That was, if you're an AD, you might put the kibosh on that.
Well, they've set it up now. We're nowhere near that visual.
Right.
Like we're in kind of a locked space now. Remember, we used to be able to eyeball the entire team every day.
Yeah, we did that. We'd go for the injury report.
Yep. Jared Lamprick shut that down. Yeah. He made sure we were in a different area for where the team walked.
Yeah,
off.
The players had to walk past us, and Sean would literally say, "Hey, position yourself over there so you can see."
Yeah, he just make a list of guys that weren't suited up or who had a boot on or whatever. Like it was made it easy.
Sure did.
All right, let's go. Headline number 4: Matt Rhule has set high expectations for his team heading into the spring, and you know we heard from Jamal Banks, a newcomer, Jamari Butler this week, Marquise Buford. But in general, they've added a lot of key pieces to this team. They return a lot of key pieces. They return maybe the most key piece, defensive coordinator Tony White, with a core group of veterans, and then some other new things that will kind of work behind the scenes and younger player development. So there is a lot of optimism and excitement going into the second year. And I think the schedule as well plays a factor, Rob, in the overall optimism level. When you look at those first seven games, Nebraska could easily be a favorite in almost all of them.
Yeah, not having to play a conference game on the road for the first time in what seems like a decade. That's a luxury.
First time since 2019.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to believe the table is set for this to be a pretty good year for Nebraska. And then just with the way that their roster's set up, maybe not to the same degree of 23 newcomers, but, you know, I think that's kind of what you're looking at going forward, like for the ideal picture to where you're bringing back a good core nucleus where you have your foundation of the roster returning and you're bringing back your most important players, but then you're supplementing with upgraded talent and kind of picking your spots through the portal for like this year. They needed receivers. They went and got two really good receivers really out of the portal, you know? And so like, I think that's kind of like what to expect with how you manage rosters now in this day and age, where you just try to keep as much of a core group as you can while also leaving room to upgrade your roster every single year through the portal, rather than bringing everybody back or having to try to supplement everything through high school and portal recruiting.
I think you're right. And the quote that really stood out to me, really maybe the quote that stood out to me above all, was it, he said this, Matt Rhule, if there's one thing we've done well is we put a lot of talent on the roster. Wow. So then he followed that up, or I think he said this after that. He said, we're going to give our players the gift of high expectations. Wow. I mean, he set the tone there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not tiptoeing into the water right mm-hmm. now. I mean, he's saying to us, we should be better. You know, we almost made a bowl last year. We should make one this year. We should be better, appreciably better.
They led the nation pretty much in turnovers, and they almost made a
bowl. They led the nation in turnovers. They led the nation in turnovers. They're tied with some rummy team. But, if there's one thing we've done well, he said, is we've put a lot of talent on the roster.
There you go.
And now we got to keep in mind, though, that they do have some situation at quarterback they got to figure out.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance that a true freshman is going to be, if not the starter, and then playing games this year. So as much as the talent is elevated around that piece, that's the most important position in sports for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
And so how far 100. The quarterback play can take Nebraska, I think, will ultimately define the season.
Yeah, I could.
It but definitely could. The good news is, whoever that QB is, they got a lot of good talent around them to
pretty
help
good,
them.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Will they make these guys live, too? That's something we'll have to delve into as far as quarterbacks. Like, will there be like a scrimmage or two or
how live?
Yeah.
How live? You know, will they cut him loose for 10 plays? How will they do
it? I mean, if somehow Raiola got hurt in a live scrimmage, it's like a job changing thing.
It could be.
Do you want to do that? I mean, are you willing to do that to kind of stick with what you did a year ago? Or do you have to adjust based on, I mean, I think he was okay with some of these guys getting hits in practice last year.
I mean, what you guys have seen from Rhule so far, what do you expect? I know what I expect. They'll have it. They'll hit him.
I mean, what did Rhule say last year? Somewhere down the line, we decided it wasn't smart to play football or something like that, but about the contact. Mm-hmm.
About other teams in the way that it's done sort of nationally. He's sort of, he's the antithesis of that. He said yesterday, he said in his press conference earlier in the week that kids these days like to play. They like to compete. You know, it's not about drills with them. They want to play. So he lets them play. So all those, if you look at what happened last year, coupled with his comments from this week, it suggests to me that they will let those guys play and turn them loose.
Yeah. You don't need to do a full scrimmage with it, like take to the ground tackling with them, but see how they respond when they know they're going to get hit.
Yes,
that's a huge part of the position. Right. They're going to get hit if they play this season. And if a guy looks great on 7-7, so what? Because he knows he's throwing on air. So, like,
thank you.
I think there's a separator there. They got to see what they have there with those two freshmen.
So spring ball will open up Sunday. No media availability. Then they come back Tuesday, Thursday, which is Easter week. No,
and me and Robin will be covering Nebraska somewhere.
You guys will be
we'll be at the Sweet 16.
Where is the Sweet 16 if they win?
I don't know. but I
can we just dream for like 5 minutes here.
I don't know where they'd go.
I got it pulled up here.
Well, they're in the South.
Let's see. They're in the South. The bracket. I have the NCAA bracket. They don't have locations
listed. Yes. It's okay.
I have to look up a different bracket.
At any rate, you can do that if you want. But yeah, that's the schedule. Tuesday, Thursday next week.
Tuesday, Thursday. Well, then they're going to go really early Sunday morning is the opening practice. And they're going to have some recruits that pop into practices this week.
Okay.
You know, they've had, you've got to figure it out.
Yeah. Boston Garden and then the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles.
Good God.
And then Dallas and then Detroit.
That'd be breathtakingly fun.
So wait, where if they win in Memphis, where do they go?
It's just, they don't have it
the
broken
South
down
region?
By, yeah.
What
it just says dates. Regional semifinals, okay. Regional semifinals.
You got a bad bracket, man.
Look, I'm just trying to Google on the fly here.
Yeah, it's,
buddy.
You're fine.
You didn't prep me for this
you're
at
fine.
All.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Guys.
Now I want to find this out.
All right, get it.
Let's do it on the fly. So, all right.
It's fine. It's a podcast. We're not on.
How do we not know where they're playing the South Regional Finals?
We're going to find it.
Okay, here we go. Regional is in Dallas.
Dallas, okay. So not as
so,
sexy.
I mean, for Houston, talk about a setup for Houston. Yeah,
real good setup for Houston. So Nebraska, you know, what we're talking about is Nebraska would have to beat Houston, which is not inconceivable. It's not. Houston doesn't shoot it well.
God, UConn are to play in Boston. I mean, UConn has got it made.
They got a draw.
Good like, deal.
Two-hour drive to New York City or Brooklyn, two-hour drive to Boston.
I mean, good deal.
That they are, it is set up for UConn to be there. It's set up for Houston to make the Final Four.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
And then Purdue would be in Detroit, which is pretty manageable.
Yeah, real manageable. Yeah, those teams got good. They got good locales for sure.
All right, let's close it out.
Close it out.
Headline number five, final headline. It's a legacy-defining weekend for Nebraska basketball. You know, I think about what Nebraska basketball is every year, Robin. We have the Legends Weekend, and it's the same five-year era that we seem to celebrate every year because that's all there is. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of a Dave Hoppin flavor, and then you get the 90s era. And that's it. That's the legacy of Nebraska basketball. That Tim Miles team that made the tournament, you don't really see it get much run.
No, outside of Roby. Like, well, outside the 14 team, hardly anybody comes back. And then from the 17-18 team that won 22 games,
okay,
really only Roby is the one that comes
back.
Like, has
Pettaway ever set foot back in Lincoln?
Not that I know of. He may have, but he doesn't do it publicly.
He doesn't come back for those events. Mm-mm.
But this team, when you think about it, has a real opportunity to cement themselves in the history books of Nebraska basketball.
And they do.
It's
and
teed up.
Fred Hoiberg, like, he's totally cognizant of that as well. Like, so during that Legends weekend, when that 93-94 team was back in town, he made it a point to have his current group be around those guys as much as possible and to see their reception and, like, how revered they still were this far along later. Just for winning a Big Ten or a big conference tournament big championship.
Eight. Yeah, Big Eight.
Yeah. And so, like, that was like, look at what these guys did. Just imagine if you won a tournament game. Imagine if you went to the Sweet 16. Just like, you guys would be legends forever.
Casey Tominaga at age like 65 would still be recognizable.
And so that goes to the point of legacy. Like, this season is great and they all want to accomplish like stuff for this year, but like, on top of what it means for the here and now, what it could mean for their futures. You see it with football all the time. Like, these guys from the championship teams, like, they have like careers based off of their college
basically
football
sports
experience.
Sports talk radio in Nebraska is centered around guys that played in the 90s.
And so this team has an opportunity. I mean, maybe not to reach national championship football player level, but like, they could have a situation where whatever they wanted to do in Nebraska, they could do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as like career opportunities and continuing to kind of play off of that.
Sure.
And if nothing else, every time they would come back, they would be welcomed back like they were the biggest celebrities ever. So, I mean, I think that that's something they've really kind of tried to ingrain in these guys, that the season, you know, is huge for you guys, but just think about just what it means beyond. Mm-hmm. And what you accomplish now could define your future. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways.
The guy I feel bad about that's not a part of this is Sam Griesel, because I feel like he's every bit a part of these guys, but he just only got to play 1 year with them.
Well, Bandamel too, and
Griesel being a Lincoln guy.
Yeah.
And you know, him betting on Hoiberg to come back. I mean, that was kind of the start of this.
Yeah.
He played a significant part in it. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, I mean, but he's the guy though, that I think everyone, at least that is around and watching this whole thing play out, will understand that. I mean, he's part of it. Like he's as important of a piece as anybody. And just because of what you said, Sean. So like when he came back, I can't remember which game it was this year, but he was back here. I mean, Bryce was back here. And like, he was just walking around like the man of the town, you know? And I think that he'll always be remembered as one of the most important dominoes that got things rolling for
part him. Of this kind of,
well, and it's just something about in-state kids, particularly Omaha guys. They've just kind of held their nose up towards Nebraska basketball. And this could be a moment to help turn that.
Haven't they?
And you know, I'm an Omaha guy. I grew up around it all. I went to a lot of Creighton games growing up. I went to a lot of Nebraska games. So I know both programs well.
And, yeah, you do.
And I saw it change. I mean, I saw the change when Altman beat. I was at the game when Altman beat the Tyron Lutz.
Speaking of legacy, Fred. I mean, if they just get that one win, and Fred Hoiberg nails down the first NCAA tournament win in Nebraska history. Huge. It'd be gigantic. It'd be gigantic for program momentum. A lot of the guys are back next year. He's got a team coming back that looks good.
In the transfer, they'll get two or three pieces, right,
yeah.
Rob?
Oh yeah.
Is that ongoing? Hey, is that happening right now?
Yeah, Monday was the opening of the portal for basketball.
Right. Frankie Fiddler, I want to ask you that because he went in from UNO, former Bellevue West guy. He's going to get some attention. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Nebraska's reached out. I'm sure it's just preliminary right now, kind of gauging interest. But from everything that I know, there's certainly mutual interest there. What is ultimately going to define it is what happens with Nebraska's roster after the season is over, and who leaves, who stays, because it's got to make sense for Nebraska and it's got to make sense for Frankie. Like if he's going to go somewhere where he wants to play and play a lot, if Nebraska brings everybody back from this NCAA tournament team that we're talking about as one of the greatest teams in program history, what role would he potentially have here? So that's kind of what they got to figure out. But if there is a situation where a role opens up that he can come in and play substantial minutes, it makes a lot of sense. And honestly, Sean, a lot of it goes back to what you're talking about, the in-state factor. The fact that Nebraska wants guys that care about Nebraska. They want people that care about the people, care about the program beyond just what can Nebraska do for me. They want guys that want to do things for Nebraska. And in-state kids do that. And Frankie Fiddler certainly would check that box.
Would Creighton be interested in Fiddler?
I've heard that they would. The initial list of schools that reached out to him when he hit the portal, they weren't on there, but you know, they're right in his backyard.
What role are we talking about? Like, give me a comp.
Well, I mean, he's honestly like a lot of what CJ Wilcher does.
Okay.
Now CJ obviously walked on senior day. But that was a lot of it to acknowledge his graduation back in December. So that's like, he's a type of guy that if he's back, I don't know. I just don't know. Like, what did you need two of those guys?
Fiddler can shoot it like Wilcher. Well,
yeah, but at Wilcher's
peak, Wilcher's a better shooter.
At Wilcher's peak, he's better than Fiddler. We saw it against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, that like, I don't know if Fiddler could have done that. I mean, come on. Like, that was unbelievable.
I agree. But CJ's very streaky. So the way that he was at his peak, he also saw the floor. So like, you kind of never know what you're going to get for him.
Right.
Like, he was sixth man of the year shoeing midseason and then completely fell off. So all that being said, if CJ wants to come back, then I think it's going to make it difficult for Frankie. But again, what if other people leave? You know, like, you never know. It's college basketball. There's always people you don't expect to leave. But I do agree with you, Sip. I think that they have a very good chance to bring back a good portion, if not nearly all, of the primary rotation from this season back next year. You're only losing Josiah, Casey, and Boogie Coleman for sure. All the rest of the guys have an opportunity to come back. And I think the majority of them will.
Well, and Fred has now re-solidified his footing here to get a new contract. Where there, let's face it, there was a rocky point with him and Trev Alberts.
No doubt.
Oh, God, yeah.
No doubt.
Like, Trev cut his salary by a large percentage. Mm-hmm.
Like, what Trev did to Frost and Fred, that you don't see that kind of stuff happening in that many places.
Well, he held them accountable. Again,
where you publicly, you know, shave a guy's head in the town square.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't happen that many places. Like...
Interesting analogy. No, but you're right. It doesn't. He did it.
That's two coaches. I mean, yeah. And Frost didn't respond well to it.
One responded well, one didn't.
Frost got upset and it affected everything he did.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, and Fred responded exceptionally well. Changed the way he operates.
Yeah,
really fundamentally.
The major reason why Nebraska did this shift with their style, the players they recruit, and all that sort of thing, the way their staff is structured, is because of Trev Alberts and because of those
interesting
ultimatums that were laid out there. He kind of forced Fred's hands to have to do those things and adapt.
If you want
to
be here,
easy to do. That's not easy to do.
Which a lot of ADs wouldn't even ever do that.
No.
Well, it's not easy.
Especially for a guy that didn't even hire the coach.
Right. It's not easy for a coach to adjust like that too, but Fred gives
Fred
credit.
A lot of compromise on both sides.
Yeah, I guarantee it was not comfortable, but it's look at how it's worked out. You do got to give Trev a little credit for that.
Well, that 21.
Fred gets the credit. Yes. Let's make that clear. But the impetus was Trev. The haircut, as Sean calls.
That was it, the 21-22 season, Robin, where they had a play like they had all those games canceled for COVID.
Yeah, that was what.
And they had fans of the game still, but that was, I mean, a low point. Like, yeah. That was the lowest point of Pinnacle Bank Arena that season.
So there was the COVID season and the year after. And then
the year we did the show with the McGowans.
Yeah, so that was 21-22.
And I'll never forget that Wisconsin game. It was like 4 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon. And they just got drilled in PBA, and they were just mad old guys getting up and screaming.
Yeah, it was bad because for one, they were losing. They were losing bad, and then just the style and
who was the TCU play. Transfer? What was his name again?
TCU,
Sudanese player from TCU that.
Oh, Latman.
I mean, poor. I mean, he couldn't hit the ocean, and he was getting bitten the board.
And they structured their roster to where they needed him to be really good.
Yeah, he wasn't. It just felt. I mean, some of those moves on paper look great, but that team kind of changed it to get to this team.
Yep, no doubt.
And we're heading to Memphis.
And now, look at us.
With a great chance to win. With a great chance to beat Texas A&M.
All right. I want you full report from the official tour guide of Memphis.
Yep.
I'm not the official tour guide. I won't be doing – I'm just going to tell Rob on air. I'm not going to do a lot.
There are people that, like, are already asking where we're going to be because they want to buy you a margarita.
Well – I mean, I don't want to disappoint.
Is there a Mexican restaurant on Beale Street?
Yes, there is. There is. There is. I didn't go in it, though. I mean, my favorite one, there's a fish place down there.
Okay.
That I liked.
I went to Hawaii with you for a week, and I'll, for the record, Sip had one margarita the whole week.
Yeah, I don't. That thing's a little
over. Took a picture of it on Twitter. Went viral.
I mean, when we went to cover the game in 2014 in San Antonio, I went to the game, covered it, next day got on a plane and left. I mean, I didn't even go to the Riverwalk. I mean, I'm not. I hate to be a Debbie Downer here, but I'm going there to work.
Business trip.
Yeah, this is a business trip. Good. I got to do Tunnel Talk Thursday night. That's where I'll be in my room.
Robin will do his Tunnel Talk on the plane.
Yeah.
Like a veteran.
Because I know how to prioritize my time.
Yeah, I'll do it in my room.
I will enjoy the scenes of Memphis.
Yeah, you will enjoy them more than me.
I'll get everything done, and everything will be ready to go, and then I will leave myself ample opportunity to experience everything Memphis is about.
I just experienced it, though. That's the thing.
That's true.
Our boy Bill Hooks will be out there.
Yeah.
Scott Gorka, yep. Courtside guy, our good friend. And I mean, the big crew of guys. It'll be a fun weekend for Robin.
I will be sleeping much of the time. that's what I'll be doing.
It's just like, you don't just have like a bag of chips for dinner. Like
no, we'll go somewhere nice.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
100%. We'll at least do
probably
meals.
Denny's.
Oh, hey, Robin, I will tell you this. We will do a very nice meal.
Okay.
100%.
That's all I ask.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Well, you got a lot of time on the front. If they somehow win.
Oh, God, that'll be awesome. Yeah, then we'll have some time on Beale Street.
Because they could end up playing Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. See, Beale Street's really fun. I like going there at like 6 o'clock.
Okay.
It's not too busy at that point, but it's still rolling.
In fact, if they win, I'm guessing they would play Sunday night. Usually the Sunday daytime games, they're exclusive windows on CBS, and they're more reserved for the true blue bloods. So Nebraska would probably, I mean, more than likely, they'd be pushed into one of the Turner Network games later in the evening.
Yeah.
Because you always get the Kansas, the Kentuckys, the North Carolina, the Dukes. They get those windows on CBS. Right. And
I don't know if Houston's that kind of draw.
Might be. Like Sean says, a perfect time for Nebraska fans, 5:50 on a Friday night. It's perfect.
Tanners, I can't even imagine. Like, I know the last time, 10 years ago, I was in Tanners for that Baylor game, and that was their record sales day they ever had.
Is that right? Point.
It was insane. Right? And I'm guessing it will be similar.
And that was an 11 a.m. game.
Yeah,
that
then the women will play. We haven't talked about that. The women play Friday night at like 9.
Yeah, right after.
Wow.
So you can write 2 columns on Friday. Abby will have that covered.
Yeah, we'll have Abby on it.
All right. Well, gentlemen, safe travels to Memphis. I am jealous, envious.
You should be.
I will be in Sioux Falls I'll drive back Friday morning. I'm doing an event up there, so I'm driving back Friday for
you're
that.
You're doing an event
Thursday night.
Really?
For Hausman Construction up there. So,
well, you're gonna know how I felt when I was snowed in Iowa City and you guys are lounging on a beach at the Polynesian Bowl out in Hawaii. So
sorry, Rob. That's horrifying.
Oh God. It was a great week.
It was. I'm sure it was.
It was. It was. It was ridiculous. I gotta tell you, it was ridiculous.
All right. Well, Safe Travels for full coverage of Nebraska, Texas A&M. Follow Steve and Robin from Memphis as they'll have all the coverage out there. Well, Tunnel Talk as well. If you know what Tunnel Talk is, it's our exclusive members only war room feature. If you're not a member of HuskerOnline.com, we got a great way for you to try it out. We're going to give you 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1. That's the best deal you're going to get right now. 2 months for $1. Promo code NU1. For Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, I'm Sean Callahan signing off for another edition of Husker Online Headlines.